time for us to talk wellness. And this week, we're talking about the challenges, often the tricky terrain that you need to manage when you are dating, when you're older and there are children, perhaps after another relationship. Maybe you were married, maybe you did have a partner, but they passed away, or you live with your parents, so your parents are somewhat involved in your business, and how that can sometimes be tricky. And have you been in that situation where you were dating, but there were children and or parents, and how did you manage that situation? We want to know on 011-883-0702, and you can send us your SMSs on 31702. Joined, as always, by our resident clinical psychologist, Dr. Kosi Chiyane. Dr. Chiyane, as always, good to have you on the show. Good morning.
Hello, hello, Googs. Good to be here once more.
Yes, so quite a interesting topic that we're discussing this week, although indeed, our topics are always interesting. There is a piece I read by a woman named Elizabeth Austin. She, her parents got divorced when she was a teen, and they started dating new people. Her 13-year-old told her that while she was dating someone new, that he wasn't ready for the relationship. She then writes, "I want to give my kids my undivided attention during these tumultuous years as teens." And so she broke up with the man that she was dating because she said that her son, his name is Seth, made her realize what her kids needed. So she ended a relationship and she was happy in the relationship. She says, "The last man I dated was the best. A month into seeing him, I regretted every situationship and almost relationship I'd ever given time to. My friends gushed over his enthusiastic texts, all heart emojis and exclamation points. My mother's eager refrain became, 'When can we meet him?' But then, as wonderful as he was, she breaks up with him because she says her son wasn't ready for her to be dating." And so that's where we find ourselves today.
I must say, I wish I could hug this woman because I just found this article just tugged at my heartstrings. I just felt that it was such a beautiful story and such a beautiful crossroads that she navigated so beautifully. But I also love the fact that the son could articulate his needs and that they could find each other in that space, and that she had the courage, you know, that whole the archetype of the mother, you know, holding the sharp end of the stick, tibabukhaling, or the sharp end of a knife, you know, that talks to a mother's love, that she would, that's how far she would go to protect her son and her family's integrity. But I love the fact that she could stand in that space. As you say, you know, it's not that it was an easy relationship for her to relinquish because there were things. It was the best she's ever had. And yet, in the face of this dilemma, she chose her teenage son. And I also love the fact that he could understand that. So for me, there's just so much beauty in this story. I'm really taken by the story.
Yeah.
So.
And I guess there's these, and certainly for parents, these difficult interests to balance.
Yeah.
So on one hand, you as a parent are a person with your own needs, a person with outside of friends, family, duty. There are certain things that you need. And one of those things that I think we all need is companionship, whatever that looks like. And but in addition, you have duties, you have responsibilities. You are a mother, a father, a grandparent, a daughter, et cetera, et cetera. And so there's always this delicate balance of trying to manage those things of, I am a person with needs. I'm an entire person, but I'm also a person in community with others who may have expectations of me. You know, there are people who often joke that they'll never introduce their partners to their parents, not unless the person they're introducing is a husband or a wife. And these are adults, grown adults with debt, credit cards, jobs and tax numbers who say, you know, I'm not introducing a person unless they are the one. And I think it's the same reason why you have adults who don't drink in front of their parents, because there is the sense that while I am an adult and I have my own life, there's a certain duty I have as a child in this family, in this household. So it's almost like we're trying to balance those two things of being people, whole people to ourselves, but also people to other people that we're in community with.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I mean, this is the knife edge of competing priorities that we find ourselves having to navigate in our lives. And it is that delicacy and the balance between being a person for myself or for the self of me and saying, how do I serve my own needs and interests? And at the same time, you know, the altruism of significant others. And in this case, I love the fact that she recognizes that her son is in a very delicate developmental stage as a teenager. And she says, at this point, that takes precedence over my need to have a relationship. And, you know, and if we, for a moment, and look at it as the family system, and we say, you know, systems tend to strive towards, move towards internal homeostasis or equilibrium or stability. Hence, there's that expression in English that says, don't upset the apple cart, right? And this relationship was going to upset the apple cart of this system, the family system. And she talks to the fact that, you know, the daughter had been diagnosed with cancer and she's in remission. So that in itself, in addition to the parents divorcing, that in itself, the daughter's illness had upset the apple cart, had upset the family system. And she's saying, we are at least at a point where we now kind of were moving to some, with her being in remission, the system was moving towards some stability, some homeostasis of sorts. And now this relationship was going to throw another stone in the pond, you know, and it would cause those reverberations of the systems that they would now need to navigate again to find some sort of balance. And the son's voice is saying, maintain, I need this homeostasis system at this level, at this stage of my life. I'm not ready to accommodate that system being perturbed, being rattled by the introduction of a new partner. Now I'm going to have to share my mother with, and the whole is going to have to be in a sense, even though it is a positive thing. And this is the beauty of this. It is not a it is a disruption nevertheless, even in its beautifulness, that my mom is finding a relationship and she'd be happy. The son is saying he's raising a flag that the system is not ready for this. And this is a consideration that a mother, you know, has to sit and weigh up for herself. And she's saying the cost benefits, you know, the cost was too much. I would weigh the benefits to the system. And she was able to say, I'm not saying this, it is a never will happen, but just the timing is not right. Just not now. And so, these are the considerations that are important.
And in this case, we're talking about a mother with minor children. Her son is in her teens, and that's why she describes the time as tumultuous, because the teenagers can be quite, you know, tricky as your child is changing and trying to manage that. But what happens in an instance where, and sometimes you do hear it anecdotally from adult children who perhaps the father has passed away, he's been gone for some time now, but they insist that their mother can never remarry, that their mother can never find a relationship because, well, she was married to my father. These aren't minors. These are now adults, often not living at home. Sometimes people are living at home because some people live in intergenerational homes. But what happens when they aren't, as in this, the case of the essay, where it isn't children, so minors who, like the person who writes the essay, say need undivided attention, but adults who say, well, as my mom, you may not date, you may not find love again. That doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. So again, it's that possessive pronoun, my mom, right? And it is about navigating that the fact that mom is her own person mm-hmm. as well, as she is equally so your mother, right? So I think the dynamics are different. And this is why this can never be a one-size-fits-all or a blanket consideration. Mm-hmm. So it is that the family system needs different things at different times, and that different nuances to these conversations that need to happen given the developmental dynamics of the system. So as we were saying, these are teenage children who are very much still dependent on the presence of their parents, who are in the formative years of their own selves and need the mother's presence and need that stability of the system. They have had to accommodate something that is outside of their doing, which is the fact that their parents have decided to divorce and destabilize their lives by doing so, or hopefully move towards hopefully some stability, right? If the relationship between the parents was not a stability factor in the relationship, it was better off that they are apart. And then the system is finding some sort of balance and sanity in the new way that it has been calibrated now with the divorce. An older child is a different consideration. And as I'm saying so, I also recognize that there is a child in the adult child mm-hmm. who is saying, my mother, I need my mother. However, I think the dynamics and nuances of that conversation are different. And it is about unpacking for the child what that means. Because as an adult child, the question becomes, are they in a relationship themselves? What's going on in their lives that they need my mother so much to be present for them when they themselves are at a different developmental stage and should be with themselves, should be able to? And it might be, is it too soon now? However, the conversation says, what do you think it means for your mother, who also has needs for herself? And relational needs that you as the child are not able to provide for her. So for me, the conversation would be more about, rather than indefinitely, it is about how long do you need your mom to give you for you to be able to develop some sense of elasticity in terms of decentering yourself from your mom's life and saying, my mom is a person all of herself, and I am an adult as a person of my own self, that I need to give some leeway for my mom to be able to do what she would like to do, even as she is my mom. And that my, that possessive pronoun does not suggest a totality. She's not just your mom. She's also a person. So I think there's a different conversation that needs to happen there.
An SMS on 31702 says, morning, Gogs and Dr. Gianne. Piwe here. I've not dated since 2006 because I chose my daughter to give her the love and attention because her father denied her from conception. She's now 18 and recently said, I can date, but not let her know the guy. We've tried for her dad to build a relationship, but still no success. It's not easy. And I don't feel as though I will date anytime soon because I am not ready. So quite interesting there. Yes. Her daughter's needs about, so she wanted to prioritize her daughter. Her daughter now being mm-hmm. older or old enough, yes. now they're 18, saying, you know, I think I am happy, you know, for you to, you know, look after those particular needs. But Piwe herself saying she's not ready.
Yeah. And I think it's a fair, you know, situation to find yourself in life. So the system is saying, I am ready to accommodate a new person entering the system. I am ready. My needs have been served. Your presence, the attention, the time that you have given me, the time that you have denied your own needs perhaps at the time to be present with and for me and especially given the absence of the father and having denied her. So the mother decided to do the double duty of being present and compensating for the absence of the father to nurture the daughter. And the daughter is saying, I have been served, and I'm now ready to accommodate you, kind of turning your head away from me, not necessarily removing yourself from me, but turning your head away from me to also serve your interests in having a relationship. And mother for herself is saying, I am not ready. So, and it's a healthy, what I love is the ability of the system to be able to have these conversations. And so for Piwe, she knows that she's got the permission, you know, and, yes. And yet she's saying, and it is perhaps, I just haven't met the one that speaks to me in a manner that I am able to allow myself to go there. But I know that the system is ready to accommodate that. And these are the conditions, so to speak. And she's saying, as long as it, you know, you can have it there, you know, not here. And the mother between the two of them, they are comfortable with that situation. And I hope that's what I'm hearing. Piwe is simply saying, it's not that it's a never. It's just that I'm not ready for it yet. Or I have not found the one, you know, that rings my bell, and I'm willing to accommodate that new relationship or stretch myself into that kind of arrangement.
Yes, it's very much sounds like a not right now. It's not a not ever again, but not right now. We have received some WhatsApp.
Unlike the article
where she was saying,
met the one. However, the system wasn't ready for him.
Mm. We received some WhatsApp voice notes on 0727021702.
I feel for both the mom and the teenage boy, but I must say that, you know, as a parent, I think that nothing makes children appreciate romance more than seeing their parents model it. So I think that we've got to be very careful about being too sacrificial, self-sacrificial, because we really are teaching our children, you know, to do the same, and it is complex.
True, and it is complex, you know. However, at this stage, it would be also equally. I think the lesson that and the message that she's communicating is very important. However, it will not have that effect at this stage if it is not at the right time for the child to receive it in that way.
Mm. And the phrase that she used, self-sacrificial. Which is often encouraged in parents, particularly moms. It's almost a thing that's deified, that, oh, you know, my mom sacrificed herself for us. And I imagine that often also leads to, well, you see it in romantic relationships as well. And that can then be a thing your kids model, because they think that is what a good person, a good mom must do.
Mm. And I think it's about, how do we achieve both? How can I, at this stage, sacrifice my own needs as a mother for the sake and benefit of my children, so that when I do, when they are ready and I do enter into a relationship, they are able to also appreciate the role modeling of romance that she is referring to, so that it is the timing that can allow the benefit of both to be appreciated in the system.
We've received another WhatsApp voice note on our conversation this morning.
Oh, Cooks, I'm listening with such heavy heart this morning, because I still haven't connected with my daughters, and my oldest turned 40 on the 19th of December, and my youngest turned 33 on the 14th of August. I love them dearly, and I can't wait for them to forgive me. Lots of love from Karen and Glenn Cairn.
Sure. That's a heavy, message there. And often there is also that as well. And also the idea that people can choose to not have contact with you and work through their feelings. And I guess you have to wait.
And I think, the suggestion from what she's saying is that perhaps, you know, to the point of the previous voice note, that perhaps the mother chose a relationship or to move on, so to speak, when the children were not ready for it. And therefore they harbor that pain of abandonment, feeling that she prioritized herself and another man over their needs at the time. And therefore that's the wounded child that's acting out, and feeling perhaps having been rejected by the mother and making a choice for another at their expense. And it is the wounded or the hurt hurting another. And it's an unfortunate and a painful place, I imagine, for her, and equally so for the children. And I would hope that somehow they're able to find and that she's able to knock on that door, you know, and ask for a conversation and some form of forgiveness, as she says, you know, and understanding that as a human being, she did what she felt was right at the time. And perhaps she didn't see or hear their voices at the time because perhaps her attention was elsewhere and her needs were elsewhere based on what perhaps could have happened in her own marriage. And it didn't work out as best as could be. And I would hope that they could find it in their hearts to open up and have that conversation and perhaps achieve at some level of understanding that this is where, not necessarily that it was right and it may not have been the best, but that was, you know, our perfect imperfections as human beings.
Yeah. Dr. Gianna, as always, great to chat to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for a beautiful and yet very difficult discussion.
That is our clinical psychologist, Dr. Kosi Gianna.